Isn't it cool how God provides? You know, we've been without a music minister, teacher, whatever you want to call it, for almost, a year now, Carolyn? And God just brings the people that you need. And whether it be George or Amber or Cindy Hoover or Carrie, you know, God provides. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today is God's provision. But I want to start with just a bit of encouragement. I love some of the people in this church because right before I got up, Chris Foreman came over to me and he said, "Hey, Steve, don't mess up." And you know, that's the type of encouragement that we get around here, whether it's, but you know what? I get that every time I teach an Ironman. So I've got somebody there that always comes up to me, and he don't say mess up. He says, another word, but it's pretty good. But Craig is actually in Roanoke, Virginia today doing a revival at a church that he has taught at in the past. And Craig was talking about doing another video. And we're going to start to implement some videos in the future, but Joshua is one of those books that I absolutely just love. I love the story of Joshua because it is a story of our faith. Anything that you can glean from the Old Testament, a lot of times it's trying to teach us in our walk with the Lord about His provision and how He provides for us. So I told Craig, I was like, "Hey, I'll do it. I'll teach this Sunday." And what's funny is there was a couple of people that said to Craig, and Craig was kind of unpacking where we were at, he's like, "Well, why don't you let Steve do it?" And I was like, it was kind of a reaffirmation. I don't say any of that to be like, "Oh, you know, I'm awesome," or anything like that, because I'm not. I get so excited about the Word of God, guys. I just love it. I just love to I'm going to steal this real quick. I love the Word of God, and I love the way that God always shows you what you need. And anyway, so if you guys will open with me to Joshua 5:9-15, we're going to read there. This is really cool. So, Craig got to the part where it talks about the circumcision. And what the circumcision represents there, he talks about this, is that, you know, the people that were traveling out in the wilderness those 40 years before they were allowed to enter in, you guys realize that the Israelites received a year for every day of their unbelief. So they received 40 years before they were ready to enter the land. Those people had to die off. Okay? So the people that entered the land with Joshua, they hadn't entered the covenant yet. Okay? They hadn't entered the covenant of God. It's the same thing that we experience when we're baptized, right? Craig talked about that a little bit last week. So they crossed the Jordan. God creates a divide through the Jordan so that the Ark of the Covenant can go through on dry ground. It says that the River Jordan was at flood stage and God stopped the water. They went on through, okay? Then they're circumcised, and we get to 5:9. And then it said, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. In the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover." All right, I'm going to stop there for a minute. This is cool. So, the Passover. The Passover is a celebration. Some of you guys know it. It's a celebration of God passing over them when the angel of death came. And the angel of death killed all the firstborn in Egypt. Okay? It was the last miracle that happened before before they left Egypt, and Egypt let them go, or Pharaoh let them go. Okay? So here's what's cool. The Hebrew verb for Passover, which is Pesach, is derived from the noun that appears to convey to limp, to stagger, to jump over, or to move with an uneven gait, or even to perform a hobbling dance. See, God gave the Jews these festivals so that they would remember Him. They came in the fall, and they came in the spring. Okay? In the spring, there was 4 festivals. In the fall, there was 3 festivals. They went out and they harvested. They grew their crops. And then they would come into the fall, and they would have 3 more festivals. Okay? It's a pretty cool picture, because the verb where we get the Hebrew meaning for Pesach, which is Passover, means to stagger or to limp. Where my mind went immediately, a scripture that came to my mind is the scripture in Jacob. Okay? In Genesis, where Jacob is coming into the land of Canaan. He's been working for Laban for, 21 years? Okay? He worked for Laban, and God blessed Jacob. Well, what was going on with Jacob at that time? Jacob was scared of his brother Esau because he had got his birthright and his blessing, and he went to go find him a wife. Okay? So, I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to bring this all together, okay? So bear with me. I do have a little bit of ADHD, but I'm going to bring it all back together at the end, okay? So I'm reading from Genesis 32:24-32. Then Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Now, what does all that mean? Okay? We're going to keep reading. So, verse 11, Joshua chapter 5. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. See, God doesn't put anything in the scriptures by accident. Everything that God puts in the scriptures is meant to be there for a reason, to teach us something. Okay? Walk with me, real quickly. You guys got your thumbs out? You got your Bibles? You got your electronic devices? Come on, because I'm going to go a couple more places, okay? You with me? Don't take my word for it. You need to go to the Word of God. You with me? You guys are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Leviticus 23. Oh my goodness, he's going to Leviticus. What's he doing? Leviticus. Ooh. This is cool. This is Moses receiving the festivals from God. In the book of Leviticus 23, verse 4 through 8. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at this time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Did you guys get that? On the 14th day, you shall celebrate the Passover. Then, on the 15th day of the same month, there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. Let's go back to Joshua. Joshua 5, verse 11 again. I've lost my spot. Anybody remember what page that's on? All right. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread, and roasted grain. That was the celebration of unleavened bread, which is pretty cool. Then, the manna stopped the day after they ate the food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate some of the produce of the land. See, guys, God always provides. God always shows up in our time of need. God requires us to trust. It's the hardest thing to do. Why do you think it is that that angel of the Lord took Jacob's hip out of socket? Why do you think that is? Do you think he did it to be mean to him? What is a man that has a limp or a woman who has a limp? How do they walk?
Slow.
Do they have to rely on something? That's what trust is, right? Us as Christians, we love to quote the scripture. We talk about this in our Bible study on Wednesday night. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean. Not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Lean. What do we got in America? We're proud people, right? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but do you guys go and look at the medal count? I do, constantly. I'm like, are we winning? Are we whooping China? Are we whooping Russia? You know? Are we whooping Great Britain? We whooped them 230 years ago. Let's whoop them again this time. You know? We're proud people. Right? We have a pride and an ego. But when we're proud and we have an ego, guess who? You know what the word ego means? Edging God out. You edge out that which you don't need. And guess what happens? It tells us in the scripture, take heed that you stand, lest you fall. If you go to fall and you have a cane or you have something to hold you up that you are relying on that's like a rock, guess what does not happen? You don't fall. But what do? We do this as believers. We look at unbelievers and we scoff at them. Oh, look at that heathen. Oh, look at that same-sex couple. Oh, look at that. When we're walking without a cane, and we're walking this tightrope, thinking we're doing a good job, what happens most of the time? We fall. See, God's trying to teach us something through the scriptures. If we'll dive deep and look, the manna stopped. The manna came for 40 years. They were in the desert. It was their sustenance. It was their daily bread. I find it fitting that the manna stopped on the day of unleavened bread. Now, why is the day of unleavened bread? What does leaven represent in the scriptures? Sin. Okay? Leaven represents sin. Any type of sin. Who bakes bread? Come on, raise your hands. I know there's people in here that bake bread. What happens if you put too much yeast in the bread? It's a picture of sin, right? What happens to sin? You know, a crack. Have you ever heard the saying, a crack becomes a handhold? The handhold becomes a foothold, and the foothold becomes a stronghold? Right? It's that song, you know, I know it's cliche, casting crowns. It's a slow fade. It's never like just all of a sudden you're struck and you're just, you know. It's little by little, inch by inch. The manna stopped. God provided. God will always provide for his body. God will always come to the rescue of his people. Now this is cool. This next couple of verses. I want you guys to go with me there. Open up your Bibles, please, because I want you guys to look at this scripture because it's so cool. And God, when God does something, when he puts a scripture, when he puts a verse in the Bible, he does it for a reason. So, and I find this amazing. My Bible says, it's got a little subtext. It says the fall of Jericho. Okay? This is the end of chapter 5. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and he asked, "Are you for us? Are you for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as the commander of the Lord's army, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now, me and Craig talked extensively about this verse, because I was like, if I'm going to teach this, I'm going to tell you what I believe. Now, listen. Everybody in here has to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, okay? Anything that I ever say, you need to go to the Word of God and say, it doesn't say that. But what's cool is, okay, think about it like this. Israelites, they entered the land. God is part of the Jordan. They come through with the ark. The river is at flood stage. God stops the water. They come through. The men are circumcised. They enter the covenant. Okay? Then they have Passover. They celebrate the Passover. They celebrate. Think of it as our Christmas or Easter. It's their biggest celebration of the year. There's two celebrations that are the most important in Jewish culture. Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. So think of it in that context. It's a celebration. Okay? They enter the land. They celebrate all those festivals. Joshua's hanging out. I don't know. By himself, obviously. Who is the commander of the Lord's army? Here's one thing I'll tell you. I love this. He says, "Who are you for?" Joshua asks. Neither. Man, we live in a divisive time where you had groups saying, "Who are you for? Are you for this group? Are you for this group?" You guys know what I'm talking about. Politically, there's so much dissension and division. Well, let me ask you guys something. Who is the author of division? John 10:10, the enemy comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. There is only one person that divides. There's only one being that divides. It is the devil. I love what the commander of the Lord's army says there. Neither. here's what's cool. What does it say that the commander of the Lord's army has? Sword. What does the sword represent, church? The Word of God. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me ask you something, church. When the devil was tempting Jesus in the desert, what did Jesus say to the devil? He didn't say, "No, devil, get away from me." What did he say every time? And this man, it thrills me to the bone. It says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the Lord by God's mouth." Right? When Jesus slapped the devil upside of the head, what did he do it with? The sword of the Spirit. Right? The sword, to me, represents the eternal Word of God. That God's Word will never return void. That which He sends out happens. Because if it didn't happen, what would God be? A liar. And guess what God is not? He's not a liar. So when He sends His Word out, it does not return void. So, again, after conversation with Craig, I said, man, it seems to me like that could possibly be the pre-incarnate Christ. That is Christ before He was. Now, some people, you know, it steps on people's theology, so I want to tread lightly. Okay? But I read 6 different commentaries about that scripture, and it's pretty cool. I'm going to read you one. This is Matthew Henry's commentary, probably one of the most famous. It said, "We read not of any appearance of God's glory to Joshua till now. There appeared to him one as a man to be noticed. This man was the Son of God, the eternal Word. Jesus gave him divine honors," meaning he worshipped him. Okay? That's important, because if you read in Revelation chapter 22, John goes to worship an angel. He goes to worship an angel, and he's like, "Stop! Whoa! You can't worship me." Yeah. Hey, why was the devil kicked out of heaven? He was leading the choir, right? I mean, he was the man. He had a third of the angels. He's up here. You know, he's the maestro. You guys seen that new GMC commercial? You know, he's that guy that's Jim Rook. You know, I mean, it's, you know, nothing. Gotta work on the delivery of that one. Satan was leading the choir. He was the man. Lucifer, O star of the morning, right? It tells us this in Isaiah. What happened to Satan? What happened to Lucifer? He turned around and he started doing what? He wasn't walking with the limp no more. He wasn't walking under the authority of God the Father. He's like, "Hey guys, let's stage a coup. This sounds like a good idea." Third of the angels are up in there. They're like, "Yeah, sounds good. Let's do that." What happened? They got cast down here. Right? Because he tried to receive worship. Okay? I don't want to get off track, but there's only one that can be worshipped. Right? Make no other gods before me. So, he received them which created an angel with which a created angel would not have done. And he called him Jehovah. He called him one. To Abraham he appeared as a traveler, to Joshua as a man of war. Christ will be to his people what their faith needs. Christ had his sword drawn, which encouraged Joshua to carry on the war with vigor. Christ sword drawn in his hand denotes how ready he is for the defense and salvation of his people. His sword turns every way. Joshua will be known whether he is friend or foe. The cause between the Israelites and the Canaanites, between Christ and Beelzebub. Could it have been Christ? I think there's a very good chance it's God. Whether it be Christ or God the Father. But here's why I think it's Christ. And I'll wrap up here. Go back with me to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 9. First fruits. We'll see. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, and you reap its harvest, bring to it a priest. Bring to the priest a sheep of first grain of your harvest. He is to wave the sheep before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath." There's a pretty cool scripture. Where Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. I told you I was going to roll up scripture. Has anybody wrote them down so you can go back and look? "But now Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are at Christ's coming." Christ is He is our first fruits. He is our priest. He is our salvation. He is everything. And it's all encompassed through that sword. So we talked about Proverbs 3:5. And I'm just simple in the sense that when we look, let's look at the word trust. How do we walk with a limp? How do we walk trusting in God? What do we have to do as believers to trust? I think George sung about it this morning. What's the only way to know? Let me say this way. The only way to experience grace is through what? Humility. What did Jacob say? When that angel was going up back and forth, what did Jacob say? He said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." God knew that he blessed him. He knew he was going to bless him. He was the son. He was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Abraham was called out, right? He was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, right? He was down there in the fertile Babylonian valley, just worshiping the moon god. He was hanging out with Lord. You know, Abraham. I didn't say Lord. Abraham. Come out of here. I'm sending you somewhere. We have to trust in Him. Here is the meaning of trust out of the dictionary. A firm belief in reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. The synonyms for trust are confidence, belief, faith, certainty, assurance, conviction, and credence. the Israelites, when they were entering to conquer Jericho. Let me ask you guys this. Did the Israelites have to work very hard? We're going to get to chapter 6, and I don't want to steal Craig's thunder. But did the Israelites have to work? It's one of the most popular verses of Scripture. Did the Israelites have to break their neck, jumping over walls and stuff to conquer Jericho? What happened? They did what the Lord told them to do. The walls fell. The people from Jericho were messed up, freaked out. They come running out, and it was over. He spared Rahab and her family. God always provides. He's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for me. He's going to provide for this church. He's going to provide for every single person that's supposed to be in His hand. What's the hardest thing to do? Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Let me ask you this. Whose understanding should we lean on? Jesus didn't rely on His own understanding. What did He say? When He was whooping the devil, what did He say? It is written. When are we as a church going to quit speaking what we feel or what our emotions say? When are we going to start saying what the Word of God has to say about it? You want to see revival in the church today? Something happens, it is written. You know what that is? That's trust. It reminds me of the centurion. The centurion goes up to Jesus. He's like, hey, my servant's sick. He's getting ready to die. Jesus starts to, he's like, well, let's go see your servant. He's like, oh, you're a busy man. Now you got stuff going on. You just say the word, and my servant will be made whole. What did Jesus say to him at that time? He said, I have found no person in Israel with more faith. And what did the centurion say? He said, I understand authority. I tell a man to go here. He's in my army. He goes there. If I tell him to walk back to Rome, he's going to walk back to Rome. If I tell him to go over here, he's going to go over there. What is that? Trust. Reliance. Trust. It's the hardest thing to do for us believers, isn't it? Man, because we all want to cling to something, don't we? It's like Lord of the Rings. You guys remember Gollum? Come on. What Gollum called the ring? His precious. What do we all have? We all have precious. We've all got something. There ain't a person in here that doesn't have a struggle of some kind that separates you from God. But when we trust in Him, when we put that cane down, that strength, what happens? What happens? We're healed. We're made whole.